pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning. Dick Brubaker up in about a half hour, so stick around for that. 251-343-0106. Grant, hadn't heard from Grant in a while. All this pride garbage is being pushed by these athletic associations is total corporate suicide. But somebody's telling them this is the way to go. You don't really hear me. I've been talking about this for years. I feel like post-Trump election, that things have gotten a little better. But all these, like, big, high-powered marketing firms who come up with ads and do ad placement, who really spend time on advertising, somewhere along the way, they got co-opted by the institutional left. That the way of the future here, and this is what they were told, that they had data to back this up, that like you've got to, the traditional American values crowd is on its way out. The country is becoming more progressive. You need to accentuate your woke values. You need to show your that you're open-minded and you believe in all these things like diversity or whatever. Like that became a thing. And, you know, major Fortune 500 companies dumped copious amounts of money. I mean, they're motivated by profit or shareholder price or whatever value. They have financial motivations. And they're being told, like, look, you better get on this trade. And the smart people, they draw up the ads. They focus group it. They show them, hey, you know, this is where the world is going. And that's why you saw the shift, I guess, around 2020. COVID, Black Lives Matter. And it just became part of, they were able to kind of force it onto the culture. Well, the culture said, it is what it is. And people looked at it like, well, why are they doing this? Such a small percentage of the population. And you also had this media landscape. And you just go back to like 23, 24. There was no way Donald Trump could get reelected president. The people know. Not only is he corrupt or whatever you wanted to call him at the time, just the country has moved on and they're going in this more left-leaning liberal direction. And then, like, the presidential cycle starts and they throw, the media throw everything they have at it. Everything in their arsenal. I mean, all kinds of names and motivations, and y'all were here, y'all remember it. And then the people go to vote, and it turns out that, like, everything that we'd been told, we didn't start questioning. Because you had the first president, Republican president, win the popular vote in America in 20 years, since George Bush did it with John Kerry in 2004. And people start asking these questions, like, why are we pumping all this money into these, like, liberal institutions? The tech guys figured it out immediately. But slowly, the media started looking at it as well. Are these the people who own these media companies, I should say? Because it's this. These are not, news gathering is not profitable. You have to spend a lot of money on it. And I think the same would apply to all the marketing. Like, no one's really buying Little Debbie snack cakes because you got a pride flag on them. it's the product. It's triggering something in your head that makes you want to buy the product, not your politics. I mean, that may be true for a small segment of society. Well, this company is, they use organic products and they recycle packaging, and they give a portion of their proceeds to the Southern Poverty Law Center, whatever. So I'm going to spend an extra dollar on this brand as opposed to this brand. But that's just not how the world works. They were being fed lies. They were being fed by leftists who bought into this orthodoxy. And I think after 24 and Trump wins an election, a national election, the question was, like, why are we paying for this again? Why are we doing this? Why are we Budweiser beer, for example, and the Dylan Mulvaney incident? Why are we doing this? This seems like it hurts our brand more than it helps our brand. Cracker Barrel. We're trying to gear a product to be more inclusive. That's not why people consume our product. No, it's because we have a good product. The product speaks for itself. All we want our advertising to do is show up on a TV commercial or whatever, and you think, hey, that sounds pretty good right now. I think I'll head to this place and go consume this product. And instead, they had somehow said, no, what you really need to focus on is social values. And show that your company is like part of the struggle, trying to make the world a better place. And it turns out that wasn't true at all. It was just a unnecessary expense. Done sort of like I would throw out Visit Mobile to show, hey, we're virtue signaling here. We're deaf, but no one is. What's your mandate? Your mandate is to sell more product, or in this case, get more people to come to your city. And you're taking these resources that should be used for that, and you're using it to promote a social agenda. Well, that's not the best use of your dollars. That's what's going on here. Corporate suicide, I mean, like I said, maybe you can geo-target it, and people with extra income will buy into it. A lot of people just turn away, like, I'm not buying that. Listen, the goal of marketing is to move as much product or get as many people to vote for you or whatever as possible. And what the social values people don't understand are the people who enable this is you're splitting up your customer base into right and left. And half of those people are going to say, no, I'm going to go buy something else with my money. I'm going to do something else with my cash. It's self-defeating. How many people are going to see Visit Mobile's website and say, I think I'm going to stay away from there? Because you're taking this caustic issue and you're trying to promote it. And you can judge those people however you wish, whatever you want to think of them. But they're still your potential customer. And you're pushing them aside. Like, if the goal is as many people as possible, taking an issue with very strong opinions on either side is not where you need to spend your resources. And that's the problem here. Jason, good morning, Jeff. I agree with Dale. Gays don't care about sports. And you'd be more likely to find them at Comic-Con, whether it's library or sporting events. It's just a way for them to normalize and spread their filth. I think there's something to that. There's this effort to normalize certain behaviors in the eyes of people that, hey, baseball's for everybody. And these guys like baseball, but they, you know, I don't know. my suspicion is that, yeah, this isn't really their thing, organized spectator sports, professional sports. This isn't where they are spending their time. But then you're taking that group of people, and maybe it's a select few, but you're ostracizing a large group of your customers who will walk away from it. Ultra Runner. I have long thought the Dibs should replace disfluent Hakeem Jeffries. Please try channeling his rhetorical style in Adiaggio tempo here. The inevitability to articulate more than five words without pausing is a disqualifier and a leader of a house debate. House of debate. This would help if I read it properly. Ah! But that's not why they... he was, African-American, New York State Democrat. I feel like he's sort of like Mike Johnson in this role, kind of a placeholder. You don't have a Nancy Pelosi, a real, like, George Patton type of leader in the Democratic Party. This is the way we're going to do it. This is how we are going to do it. And if you don't get along with my program, I'm going to cut your funding off and somebody will primary you. You'll be in a hard place here. That the Hollywood crowd, the Wall Street crowd, the tech guy, they listen to me and I get results for them. And if you don't do what I tell you, if you don't vote like I say, we're going to cut you off. And then I am going to raise money for someone to primary you. And that's how she was so successful. Jeffries doesn't have that same kind of swagger at all. And this might be why Pelosi got out, because there's a group of lawmakers in Congress who said, "Whoa, we're not getting along with that program." And you can feel that grasp on power seed. Named Texter. Piscola Biloxi put their states into water where they get a breeze. Mobile's put theirs next to an interstate where the highway heat had rolled off over the state, making it unbelievably hot. Only times I went there was when I was going to an air-conditioned suite. Well, they put it there next to the interstate to make it easy to get to. Mobile's not. Well, neither is Pensacola. Easy cities to get around. Biloxi a little different. But that was the goal there, I feel like, to put it in a central location near the interstate. Near both interstates, actually. Because it could be challenging to get downtown and find a place to park. So my little boy and I went to all of the Southern League stadiums last year to one game. They all kind of do it different. Chattanooga has moved theirs out of downtown and moved it out to the outskirts. Birmingham took Hoover and moved their stadium downtown to Regents Park. Anyway, more on that in a moment. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Or I may simply be a single drop of rain. But I will.
Once was a thought inside my head.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. Dick Brubaker in the next segment. Coming up tomorrow on the program, Will Hampson. A couple other guests to be named later. So make sure that you tune in for that. Hey, don't forget, Charlie Kirk was trying to promote homosexuality. He was trying to promote it? and trying to push that guy that had a family, whatever his name was, I can't remember. They were trying to normalize it, right, too? What? Killer Bees, exactly. My family stays away from downtown during LGBTQ month, and we love downtown Mobile. Mike, I can understand pushing the gay stuff at the Fairhope Arts Festival with all the fruity nuts down there, but sports is just proving a point that they get to show us who's really in charge. I think there's some truth to that. We're going to show you. This is what you're going to accept this, whether you like it or not. But they do it to their own detriment, Mike. I mean, is it worth it? Let's play this out so enough people are upset about this. Or maybe they're not. That they're going to get their funding taken away. That this lodging tax will, or they'll lose their positions in this organizational structure. That people say, hey, no, we're not going to do it this way. This is government on for and by the people, and we don't want this. But they say, our values, we're going to impose these values on this group of people who didn't vote for this. We didn't even have a discussion about this. We're just going to do it. Butter knife. I'm glad 68 Ventures does not have an executive vice president of payroll who is married to our U.S. senator. Never mind, they do now. Should make moving the money around a lot easier just to give him a bonus. So Wesley Britt, the husband of Katie Britt, is now an executive vice president at 68 Ventures. That story at 1819 News, 1819news.com. I don't know. I know that they had, long before she was in the Senate, I think a financial stake in 68 Ventures. What can a U.S. senator do to shape development? I mean, maybe by a couple of degrees of separation. But, I mean, as a spouse, does he not have the benefit of the doubt? Does he not have the right to earn a living? I mean, maybe he doesn't. Maybe you see that when you're elected to the United States Senate, but I don't know. Katie Britt's a U.S. senator because she won an election. I would say 68 Ventures is probably a better place than working as a lobbyist at Fine Getty, I should say. And the reason he was allowed to do that was they said they don't lobby federal issues or federal politics. Yes, Dave Rubin was the name. Charlie Kirk pushed Dave Rubin, all of us, and showed us how progressive conservatism could be. I wish I followed that a little more, but I just don't. There's a whole, like, influencer thing, but the problem with it, I don't know, like, where they're coming from, why they arrive at these positions. It doesn't seem like my knowledge of Charlie Kirk, it was really all about him promoting homosexuality. 251-343-0106. A few newsworthy items here that Supreme Court has ruled three cases, handed out their decisions. They said that Trump can't fire Lisa Cook, a Fed governor. However, they did say he can fire the FTC commissioner. He asked me how about it. I told him. And the other one, the Supreme Court, saying that mail-in ballots received after Election Day can't be allowed under certain circumstances. Text line 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Just glitter and shine. Taught us that love was the one thing money couldn't buy that it never was. Cause you see, I'm a dinosaur. Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning, 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the show, hit me up on that text line, and we'll go from there. Joining us now, as we have been teasing all morning, former State Senator Dick Brubaker joins the show. Senator, how you been?
Man, I have been great. I mean, it's a beautiful day in Montgomery. The city's falling absolutely apart. It is still. And I just got my dog back from the vet. And the dog is doing great. So what could be better than that?
Well, that's good to hear. Unfortunately, politics creeps into our discussions, especially on a political talk show. We haven't talked, I don't think we have, since the primaries a couple of weeks ago. But I tell you, my biggest takeaway, I think things kind of went as I had expected. But the biggest takeaway here is just how bad the polling is in this state. And there's just no, the science has fallen off.
Well, I don't know. I think the lesson that I've taken away is that while everything you just said is 100% right, the Trump endorsement in Alabama is just bulletproof. I mean, for better or for worse. I mean, John Wall, who nobody knew who he was, the only thing he had going for him was the fact that Trump endorsed him. And he wins a statewide race for lieutenant governor against a well-known political opponent. Frankly, I was amazed.
Well, I didn't like the Wes Allen campaign, and I had my issues, and I'd talk about it. He was always, even before Wall got in the race, kind of mired at this 35%, 40% ceiling, which is not going to be good enough to get you elected.
Well, you know, you're right about that, and he didn't run. You know, I think what Trump is proof of is that Americans, in general, want people to be positive, upbeat, hopeful, and to, you know, talk about what makes America great. And let me tell you something. This World Cup event, and if you read all the posts that the Europeans are doing, America is so far ahead of the rest of the world. And that's what all these travelers from all over the world who come to the World Cup in the United States, they're all saying the same thing. We were lied to about America. America is awesome. And I think that's what people want to hear. And if you run a campaign that's, I don't know, lackluster or low energy, it just doesn't inspire people.
Well, it's this.
But I am a little concerned about some of the people Trump has endorsed in Alabama. It kind of makes me wonder what the process was. I mean, I'll be honest with you. When I was trying to get a meeting with Trump when I was running for Congress, I was asked in no uncertain terms to pay for that meeting. I was told if I gave a certain amount of money, I could have the meeting. And if I didn't pay it, I wasn't going to get the meeting.
Right.
And I didn't pay it. I just wasn't going to do it. And so I'm wondering what the process is. Like, did Trump endorse Rhett Marcus?
He did last week.
See, and I don't understand that. I mean, I'm sure Rhett's a very nice guy, but if you look at his voting record, it's not conservative. It is. I mean, he voted for bills that empower the power company and Blue Cross Blue Shield and make them less responsive to what regular working Alabamians need. He voted for the gas tax, you know, all these kinds of votes. And in a field where there are a lot of choices, he walks away with the Trump endorsement. And that confuses me.
Well, I my theory on that is Katie Britt maybe horse traded for it. I mean, he wants.
Yeah, but why? Even if it's Katie Britt, why Rhett Marcus out of that field?
Because she said, hey, I really like them. He was my neighbor when I was growing up or whatever it was. And, you know, it would be, you want to, I'll do you this favor on this bill if you do me this favor on this election. I mean, I don't know that to be the case, but I can certainly see it.
I don't know either, but it concerns me. And I think the biggest concern is if you look at the voter participation among Republicans in Alabama, it's crashing. I mean, it's going through the floor. And our turnout has been very poor through this cycle as Republicans. And there are counties where Republicans usually outperform Democrats in total numbers of vote casts, where that's been flipped.
Right. Yeah, you're right
about
that.
And that's not good. That is a bad trend. And I think it's because once the endorsements come out, people think their votes don't matter and they might as well go fishing.
Maybe.
It bothers me.
I think that you'll see an uptick. This has always been my struggle. And I grew up in a house like this where my parents didn't care. They thought that their vote mattered when it was general election time, whenever they were talking about it on, you know, Rush Limbaugh or Fox News or whatever, and that they were going to show up for the general election, and the primaries were just small potatoes. And I think there's some of that in Alabama.
Well, I think you're probably right, but these midterms are important. It matters who wins these midterms. And if Republican turnout nationwide isn't very, very high, we're not going to hang on to the U.S. House. And that would be bad. I don't want Hakeem Jeffries or whoever the latest popular Democrat socialist is to be Speaker of the House. I mean, this country is on a good track right now in most ways, and we don't need to start pulling back on that because Republicans think their votes don't matter. I mean, this is a democracy. You've got to participate.
Well, yeah, they're going to participate. But I said they'll participate in these big general national elections. They just don't show up in primaries.
Well, what about a midterm where the president's not on the ballot? And like in Alabama, the governor's races, most people feel is a done deal. I'll be very interested to see what Alabama's turnout is. On the big day in November.
I mean, you're right. And you go back to the primary, and Democrats far exceeded expectations and outturned out Republicans. But it's just the odds. I mean, do we think that would hold in a general election? Because it's like a Republican phenomenon where they will go out and they will vote in these general elections, and they just totally are dismissive. We had Mike Durant. Ran for United States Senate 4 years ago, and he never voted in the primaries. And people were like, why? And he said it. He's like, well, I mean, I can barely keep up with what's going on. I don't know about these judicial races or anything. I just don't have time for that. But I do vote in general elections. And I just think that's unfortunately is one of the realities here.
Well, I think that, there's a lot of truth in what you're saying. But when you look at the performance of Alabama Republicans, tell me something that Alabama Republicans have done in this last legislative cycle that is something that conservatives could get really excited about.
No, you're right. But they don't, they don't follow it like they necessarily should. There's some notable exceptions. I think people got up in arms over some of the vaccine stuff. But even like the gas tax. I mean, no one ran against incumbents who voted for the gas tax on the gas tax. All these things sort of faded.
Yeah, I think that was a mistake because I think the reason that Republicans were willing to get rid of an elected PSC, and I've said it before, Alabama Power is a great corporate citizen, but I think it's a good thing that they have an elected regulatory agency that kind of watches over them. Well, we don't have that anymore. What we've got is instead of getting to vote for all three commissioners, you get to vote for one of seven, and those commissioners' decisions can be overridden by a political appointee.
Right.
And, you know, that's not good for regular people. I mean, they brought in the legislature allowed this data center and to be brought into Montgomery County that Alabama Power told everybody ahead of time it's going to make regular Alabama energy rates go up. And that's at a time when the economy is just not that great and regular working Alabamians don't need to have to pay more per kilowatt hour. But that's what's going to happen. And, you know, on the Adem bill, the idea that the Republicans have empowered industry to take actions that they know are going to be damaging to the areas in which regular people have to live without any fear of proactive regulation on the part of Adem. I mean, that's not Republican.
Corporate,
Blue Cross Blue Shield. You know, they changed their corporate status, and in other southern states, the legislatures negotiated with them, like Missouri made Blue Cross put aside money to help with rural health care. The Alabama Republicans just handed Blue Cross what they wanted and didn't make them give anything for it. And now we got Jackson Hospital, one of only three hospitals in Montgomery, Alabama, closing. And, you know, Republicans are supposed to look after people. I mean, not live their lives for them, but to create an environment where people can thrive economically and educate and raise their kids the way they want to. And all of the decisions I just listed make it less easy for regular people to do that. And it really bothers me.
Well, I tell you what, you like the way they did PSC and they done this with Blue Cross Blue Shield and ADEM. Wait till you see the gambling bill we're going to get at the beginning of next year.
Well, it's, you know, remember the, I mean, it's almost funny. Remember the medical marijuana bill?
Yes.
They so bogged that thing up that to this day, and that bill was passed, what, 5 years ago?
No, longer than, it was 2019, so almost 7 years ago.
2019? And how much medical marijuana has been produced?
I think a grand total of like 5 prescriptions have been written, and I don't know. I mean, it just had the first one a few weeks ago.
And that's very typical. And I'm just, this gambling bill, when it's all said and done, especially with this group of Republicans who don't give a damn about its effect on regular people, it's going to be set up to where a few politically connected people end up with all the money and all the licenses, and the communities where these facilities locate are going to end up with nothing.
Yeah, it's a cash grab by the state, and it's not even that much cash, but there's just enough. I mean, I don't believe that the government is necessarily, or the lawmakers necessarily, motivated by the financial incentive. It's just all of these pressures from these outside groups. And
well, most of them aren't even in state.
Right.
I mean, these are out-of-state people who are going to drag millions and millions of dollars out of Alabama so the state can collect a few more tax dollars. And right now, the state's got more money than it's ever had. And they're still willing to go down this road and, you know, to make communities just a little bit worse.
It's a wag the dog. It's the tail wagging the dog thing. Where who is really asking for this? Is this something that people really, really want? And there are people who want a lottery, but it's not going to be sold that way to them. It's going to be sold to them as, or it's going to be sold that way to them, but it's not going to be that. The reality is going to be comprehensive gambling legislation. They're going to do it all at once because the wagon's got a hitch to the lottery, the sports betting and the casino gambling have got to use the lottery to get through the Alabama legislature to get a vote of the people.
Well, and they're going to have all of these restrictions built into the bill to where the last time I was in the legislature when they had a gambling bill, it had a constitutional provision that spelled out how no state agency could pass any regulation that touched these gambling interests. I mean, it was unbelievable piece of backroom political jobbery. And it was okay. You know, I understood it when Democrats did it because they've always done it. What I don't understand is why Republicans are taking actions that they know will directly negatively affect Alabama. It's like that gas tax. Where's all the money going to go now? Is it going to go to the communities that put in the money, like Mobile or Montgomery, Birmingham, Huntsville, Gadsden? Is that where these roads are going to go?
Nope.
No, they're going to go to this West Alabama Causeway, the area of the state that contributed the least amount of money in fuel taxes. All the money is going to be spent over there. So,
and it's obligated
you guys
for
in Mobile.
It's obligated for 20 years now because she, Governor Ivey, has borrowed against it for the next 3 gubernatorial terms, it appears. And
right, and the legislature went along and passed the bond issue.
Well,
let any legislature say that they had to. They didn't have to.
They passed a law to allow her to do it, and then kind of was like, wow, look what happened here. Well, we're out of session. There's not much we could do about it. we can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. But you're right. I mean, they tried a contract review, but you can only put a 30-day hold on it. They got snookered.
Well, they didn't get snookered. I don't think they care. I don't think your average Republican legislature, you know, they like to talk about, you know, the port of Mobile potentially is the greatest economic engine this state's ever had. But it's being outcompeted by Savannah. If you look at tonnage growth, by a factor of four. I mean, it's unbelievable. And the reason is that the legislature will not fund the improvements that everybody needs to know, that everybody knows the port needs to be fully competitive. And the gas tax was supposed to provide a lot of that money. That's how it was sold to the people down south in the southern part of the state. Well, no, guess what? You're not going to get that money now because we're going to build it in a part of the state where nobody lives.
That's a legacy building operation.
Crazy.
Yeah. And her attitude is, and I'm going to tell you this, and we got to go after this, but the attitude there was, we did all the hard work. We took all the slings and arrows to get this passed. We took the fall. We fell on the sword to raise taxes. Why shouldn't we? Why should another administration be the beneficiary of our hard work?
Well, why shouldn't the people who actually pay the tax get the benefit of it? I mean, that's what I don't understand from Kay Ivey's perspective. I understand if she had barred against it and improved the Port of Mobile over the next 12 years or four-lane 231 and 331 all the way to Florida. But I don't understand why she's spending all the money where it will do the have the least effect on the greatest number of people. That's what I don't understand.
Like I said, she's going to get it named after her, and she wants to be the West Alabama governor, apparently. But, hey, Senator, we got to get out of here a little long, but I appreciate your time this morning. Let's do it again soon.
Hey, man, I enjoyed it. Thanks a lot.
All right, Dick Brubaker, ladies and gentlemen, let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Alabama, Roll Tide, roll, muddy water. Play me a song, girls love, girls love.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. The LGBTQYZ crowd has to be communists. Let the Democrat Socialists pay for the banners and the installation. Now from an unnamed texter, cheese wagon crash I-65 southbound at Creolis at Suma exit. So be careful out that way. Leo, blame the gas tax shoved down our throat for bad Republican turnout. Waste of time voting. Roger, hey, I don't even know who your guest is, but please remind him that this is not a democracy republic. Ultra Runner Dale is right. Patriotism will help us win the midterms. Waving the American flag is the right's version of wearing a face mask, and I see a lot of American flags. And Derek writes, that's how cheap our politicians are. It's insulting. Coming up tomorrow, the program, Will Hampson, a couple of other guests to be named later, but here in just a moment, Midday Mobile. Sean, what you got?
Hey, Jeff. Yeah, getting cranked up with Todd Stacey here in just a little bit. We'll talk with him, a couple of different stories floating around and what happened on Capital Journal. Also, get into this data center discussion, the vote coming up for Stockton. And I just started thinking about this over the weekend. I was tilling fields out on a big power line that runs through by my house there on the farm.
Oh, yeah.
You know, these getting power to the cities, I think about like living in the country. We provide the food for the cities, provide the electricity for the cities coming through, the gas lines coming through. You know, is this, of course, back then you didn't hear the hubbub about it back when these were run. But is this not that, you know, version three of that, you know, bringing the power to the cities, bringing the energy to the cities?
It's just such a grander scale, I suppose, yeah. at a much bigger expense.
Yeah, and because I think it didn't just for the cities, right? It's for these data centers and all that, but we'll talk about that on the show as well. Also, possible will depend. There's another meeting about the very contentious Dolly Parton pirate theme deal going on down in South Baldwin. They're having a council meeting today. John Sharp, if he is clear from that, will give us the latest on this. The pushback. When NIMBY is going after Dolly Parton, pretty interesting.
I know a little bit about this. I'm just, come on, guys. Like, you know.
I cannot wait to get the latest on this. So, yeah, John may be in the second hour of the show. And also today, the New World screwworm. You've heard these stories, right, about the screwworm?
Yes.
It's actually the maggot, the larva of a fly out there. And they're saying, well, it's coming to the United States, it's coming in Texas. It's been here. And the process that started, gosh, in the 30s on through the 70s to remove this, and how COVID may be the reason the screwworm fly is back in the United States. We'll get in that coming up on today's show.
Ooh, y'all need to stay tuned for that. I'll be listening. All right, guys, that's it for me. Y'all stay tuned for Midday Mobile. I got to get out of here. I will try to do better tomorrow. Sorry, fellas, I forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. All right.